You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
We'll go to scripture reading. It's in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, now let's put all the hurry and the rush of the world behind us. Let's leave those football games in yesterday. And let's don't worry about the ones that are today. You know, that it's hard to do if you're honest with yourself. We sit in here. I was talking to my grandson the other day, and I said, you know, Nike has it right. Just do it. There's a lot of wisdom in that. You know, we need to do what we're supposed to do. We need to do that which is right. That's what's hard. I asked him, I said, do you ever just like go to bed at night and pray? He goes, yeah. And I said, how long does it take you to wander away? And I don't know if he really caught that, but it happens often. And it's really a challenge. And so to put our focus on what God has to say and what we're supposed to learn from that is a real effort in life. And I don't want you to think that it's not. I don't want you to forget, I guess. That's remember. Remember that it is an effort that we have. And I've got a little more to say about that. But let's go ahead and join our hearts and minds in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the blessing of fellowship and the joy of being together. We thank you for the Word and the impact it has in our hearts and our life, and that it's transforming, that we might, Father, in spirit and in truth worship. And we thank you, Father, for your Son, our Savior, who gave his life that we might be able to walk worthy of this calling that you've given to us in the heavenlies above. May that be real to each and every one of us. And this we pray in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I planted some grass seed a week ago Thursday. And it's shade grass, and I've got a really dirty spot, a patch that's not very... the last two summers have just been unmerciful. You know, 100 degrees, 63 days in a row last year, and then this summer we had several, you know, 30 or 40 of them, and it's so hard. And I got out there, and I put 2, 3, 4 hours in and scraping it and working it. You know how you work stuff sometimes? You know, Liam back there, I think of him, you know. Amy, you know, she cleans him up and gets him and puts a new diaper on and everything, and boom. I just did that. I got to do it again. Yeah, it's happened, you know. You bake a cake and, oh my goodness, what did I forget? You know, and the grass is just... I go out Monday, you know, 4 days, nothing. I'm watering and watering. I go out Wednesday, and it's been 7 days, nothing. The eighth day, I'm going, the eighth day, you know, resurrection, eight, breath, cope, nothing. I went out this morning, and I got little fuzzies growing. I'm so excited. I'm excited. It doesn't always pan out tomorrow. Okay, when God teaches us something, when God tells us to listen and pay attention, we need to listen and pay attention. We need to be about the work. I don't know if that grass is going to, you know, the flower fadeth, you know, all that stuff. It's not anything I'm basing my life's existence on. But it is a joy to see it, and it may be gone next summer, but I'm going to be back at it. Because that's a spotty little place, you know? And it needs to be cultured. It needs to be cultivated. I need to work on it. I've worked in lives of men, and I've seen the same thing. And I've seen them walk away from the fellowship of the mystery. I've seen them see these truths and talk about them from a mental point of view, but that it didn't get their heart. You know, they don't understand the glory that God has given to us in the heavenlies above. And today we're going to look at what that process is. It's out-resurrection. You know, it is such a blessing that distinguishes us from any other company of believers that God has set out in Scripture. And it's not a given. And we'll see that today. It's not a given. It's a special calling. And by saying it's not a given, I mean just because you walked in the door, you didn't get it. You got eternal life. You've got the grace of God. You've got the blessing of forgiveness of sins. And you've got the blessing of resurrection. You're not going to have to worry about the torments. You're not going to be down there saying, send Lazarus so he might dip his finger in water and give me a little drink. You're not having to. You don't have. You know, you've been saved. You've been spared from that wrath. But God has now a glory for you in the heavenlies far above. I read a... I better not, because I can't remember where I read it now. Just flying through. But, you know, God talks about the heaven of heavens. He talks about the heavens and He talks about the earth and those blessings. Okay, and the earth belongs to the meek and the heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem comes down and those are the faithful that we find in Hebrews that stood faithful to what God had called them to do. And, you know, He starts out with the faithful. The faithful worship of Abel and the faithful witness of Enoch and the faithful Noah, and I can't remember what he did, but it's a W. I'll have to think of it later. These things are just kind of flying through there. But those people have a wonderful, glorious inheritance before them. And we have one before us. But like Paul said, you've got to finish the course. You've got to fight the good fight. You've got to be faithful. It's not a given. And our Lord, when He was here in the flesh, He said, "He who hath an ear to hear, let him hear." You know who gave us the ear? You know it says over there, the hearing ear and the seeing eye? God created us. Do you have an ear that hears? Do you? Yeah. I mean, well, little boy, he said, teacher said, "Johnny, can you hear me?" He says, "Yeah, I can hear you, but it's not the hearing that's my problem. It's the listening." And that's where the focus comes in, that Nike, just do it. You know, we have to concentrate. And whatever it takes in your life, I've had this issue before, whatever it takes, whatever, wherever you are, when you're praying, if you're prone to walk, you know, to wander, yeah, keep it short. Learn what your limitations are. Learn what your abilities are. You know, if you're sitting there you're listening on the radio and you don't like what a guy's saying, don't listen to that. Don't let that rule over you. Distinguish the difference between what's your mail and what's not your mail. What's addressed to you and what's not addressed to you. He may not understand. I listen to the guy and he's popular. He's very popular. He's got a ministry that is just overwhelming in America today. One of the top four. And he's talking about Acts 2 and the beginning of the church. And he's talking about Revelation and the rapture that occurs. And he's talking about the promises and the inheritance that we get. This belongs to the church. And then he kicks into that other gear. You know what that other gear is? It's coming soon. And that's, you know, I've told you my feelings about that. That always happens when us gray hairs get really fired up. You know, it's coming soon. You know, it's because it's so bad from the last 50 years. It's got to be the end of the world. Plus, there's such a desire when you get older. Lord, come. And I think it's caught him. I think those two things, you know, the fact that you're 18 years old, yeah, that's not so bad. I got my iPod, my iPad. You need your iPray. Yeah? Anybody got one of those? Okay. There is an app. I wouldn't doubt there's an app for everything. It's great. 18-year-olds don't know that. hey, it's not so bad for them. 50 years ago, you know, we talked last week, and I'm kind of bringing us up to speed here a little bit. We'll jump right into this passage and what we want to study today. We're going to look at two things. We're going to look at this out-resurrection with a little more clarity and substantiveness. We kind of hit at it last week and try to build on what we had and go from there. And then we're going to move into that day of Christ. We've been studying these 4 days, the day of man, the day of Christ, the day of the Lord, and the day of God. The problem that we face is keeping a perspective on this that keeps us in the Word and in the truth. We need to do that. As we look at this out-resurrection from last week that we talked about, we know that that is the conclusion of the day of man. We know that that is the conclusion of our present dispensation. There are other thoughts about that. You know, the times of the Gentiles, that end in 1967, when Jerusalem got taken over, and, you know, I don't stand on that point, but I'm not going to argue about it. Like we said before, it's not one of those hills you're going to, you know, you're just going to say, look, you know, they don't have Jerusalem. They don't even have the Temple Mount. It's not back in control of the Jew. That's my point. And so where are we? Well, we're still moving forward. You know, it wasn't in 1988. We had a lot of people come out, and then we had the guy out in California about, what, a month ago? What was his name? Kitchens or something like that. He came out and he said, you know, the Lord's returning, and then he had to readjust that 6 months ahead, and the Lord's returning again. It's not going to know that stuff. It's not going to be there. In fact, it's going to be really wonderful the day he comes, because everybody's going to be drinking and eating and having fun and giving in marriage and all that kind of stuff. It's like it's just going to be like in the days of Noah when the flood hit. They're going to go, oh, it's raining. It's what? It's raining. What's rain? You don't know what rain is? I don't know what rain is either. You know, I don't think it ever rained. You know, it was just a... And then the deeps broke up, and it was all of a sudden we had a flood. It's going to be a strange time. But that's not our time. That's not what we're looking for. That's beyond our time here. We have that out-resurrection. We have that glory ahead of us. And it's a prize. Paul calls it a prize. But that brings the day of man to a close. What is this out-resurrection? What makes it so special? Well, what makes it so special is that it's a resurrection that is tied into the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. It's an amazing coincidence, the correlation on this. And as we go through Scripture, you know, resurrection is a fundamental doctrine. Go to Job 19. Job chapter 19. Even Job knew it. Right before Psalms. Go to the middle of your Bible, open up, you'll probably hit Psalms, and then right before that you'll see Job. And Job... come. Knock off some of the dust. Just clear it out. Job 19, even Job knew about the resurrection. And look what he says in verses 25 and 26. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Now, even Job knew about this. The resurrection is something that everybody will have. It's a blessed hope. It's an unescapable hope. The resurrection is what everyone, whether it's the just or the unjust, everyone will come to that. Whether they've done good or they've done evil, whether those who are from the body of Christ or those who will stand before the great white throne judgment, there will be a resurrection. Each and every one of the seed of the woman will have a resurrection. Come on back to Philippians. And Paul knew that. Paul, who offered our understanding of the grace and faith, and Paul, who was taught by the Lord Himself, understood these principles. There was no doubt in his mind that he wasn't going to have a resurrection. as all believers' hope. But notice in verse 11, he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Philippians 3, verse 11, if by any means I might attain. There is a contingency here. He's not speaking of the common understanding that Job had of a resurrection. He's speaking of something that's a little bit different than that, that's separated from that. He says, if by any means I might attain. There's a contingency. There's an uncertainty about it. Now, his hope in a resurrection was like an anchor. Unmovable. Steadfast. Just as all of God's children were back then. He go over to what we talked about it last week. You remember Martha? Go to John 11. Let's look at that real quick again. John 11, verse 23, Jesus said to Martha, my brother shall rise again. You know the story. You know, Lazarus dead. He's been dead several days, 3 days, 4 days. Jesus even tarried when he got the message. He didn't come at once. And when he gets there, Martha kind of, well, you know, if you'd have been here, Lord, could have saved me. He said, Jesus said unto her, verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said, I know. She's like Job. I know. I know that. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you know that? That's what he's saying to her. Do you know that? And what does she say? Verse 26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe. Four of the most important words a man or woman could ever say, yea, Lord, I believe. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. That's that common resurrection. Everybody, go over to Matthew 22. Just look at a couple of these to kind of pin this down. It's not something that was uncertain. It's not something that had a contingency. It was a well-known fact. Matthew 22, verse 23. There came a day when the Sadducees came, and says, the same day came to him the Sadducees who say that there's no resurrection. Well, they know of it, but they don't believe in it. That's the common resurrection. The common resurrection that everybody believed. In fact, probably the most simplest. Go over to Acts 24. Explanation is in Acts 24 by Paul before Felix, the governor, and the Sanhedrin. Notice verse 1 of chapter 24 of Acts. After 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator, Tertullius, who informed the governor against Paul. And so Paul gets to talk to Felix the governor. And in verse 14, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a what? A resurrection of the dead. This is the common understanding. There'll be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This is the Anastasia, or Anastasia Necron. I'm not going to try to get into the Greek or any of that, but that's the common understanding. What is that difference in Philippians? Why is Paul not assured of that resurrection in Philippians chapter 3? Look at it. Let's go to Philippians 3 again and just kind of focus on this. Got to have your track shoes on today. We're going to go through some scriptures, or have been going. We're going to go through a couple more. But how critical this is. Because it helps us focus our hope in what God has given to us. It gives us the sustenance and the sustaining ability to accomplish that which God has called us to accomplish. Have you been called to do something? You know? I love to use sports as an analogy, and Paul does too quite often in his writings, but there's something that's got to keep you keeping on. And it's not within yourself to do it. You can't do that. There's got to be something else. It takes hard work. It takes determination. It takes getting your sleep. It takes eating right. It takes getting in the weight room. It takes reading the playbook. It takes following orders. It takes working together. It's all of that. And you miss any of it, and the chain's only as strong as its weakest link. Are you there in Philippians? All right, that verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This isn't just Anastasia Necron. This is a phrase. And it's a one-time word. It's ek Anastasia. Ek Necron. It's got that out from of the dead. It's a resurrection that's different than that common resurrection. That's why he says, if I might attain it. And notice he says, verse 12, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. See, that perfection comes from attaining that. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Wait a minute, what? Let me help you here, okay? What is he talking about? Okay, Paul says, I've been apprehended by Christ Jesus to do something. I've got something he wants me to do. In Noah's situation, what was it? Yeah, build an ark. Regardless of all that he had to go through to build it, that was the faith God gave him. What God looks at us, when God looks, he says, I know you have faith. But now, here's the challenge. I'm going to ask you to do something, not beyond what you can do, but you are capable of doing it, and that's the faith. I want to see your faith obedience. That's the faith God wants you to walk in. And for Noah, it was, build an ark. What is it in your life? I don't know. You know, it's fear and trembling. Let every one of us work out our own salvation. It's not working that salvation. But it's going on to that idea of perfection. And in accomplishing that, we achieve that prize that he has set before us. Does that make... You got to get that idea? Okay. Hold your hand here in Philippians, left hand in Philippians, right hand go over to Timothy real quick. Let's just kind of see what Paul had to say. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. Paul's come to the end of life. This is the last book in the Bible, the final word. This is the conclusion. And Paul, he says in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. Is that enough? No. That's not enough. I've finished my course. Is that enough? No. That's not enough. You may fight the wrong fight. You may fight a good fight, but you may be fighting the wrong fight. You may finish your course, but it may not have been the right course. What sets it up? I have kept the faith. The faith. The definite article is there. It's not just faith. That's been accomplished. The fight and the course, all accomplished for us. But it's that going on. It's the faith. Makes it so different. Now think about it. Okay? Reuben, if I told you to come up here, I want you to sit in on that pew. The pew. How many pews are there? You know, 10, 12? Okay. Now think about this. What pew did I say sit on? The pew. Okay? How different is that from the others? Well, they all look the same to me. Remember Mac always talked to us about the back 40? And the father leaves and asks the son, "I want you to work that back 40, son. I know it's back there and it's kind of weedy, and it's got some stumps and some rocks. But I want you to work on that while I'm gone, and I'll be back in a month, okay?" Well, the dad comes back in a month and he starts talking to the kids and he says, "How you doing? And what did you do? And did you work on this? Did you work on that?" And he comes to that one son and he says, "Son, how'd you do on that back 40? That's where I wanted you. How'd you do on that? What are you going to tell him?" "Well, you know, I got so involved with this and I got so involved with that, Dad. I was, you know, and it doesn't take long before the old head starts to drop and the chin goes down. And, or are you going to be able to sit there and you're going to say, 'Oh, Dad, you ought to see it.'" Yeah, that's that idea. That's the faith. What God has asked you, your faith obedience is where He's coming from. That's what Paul is saying. "I kept the faith." Okay, come back to Philippians. This ek anastasia is not something that He's given to us. He's made it available, and the opportunity is there, but we've got to obtain it. Look at verse 13. I'm in Philippians 3, verse 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind." Let me tell you, all those in Asia had not forgotten those things that were behind. You remember that in the first chapter? They've all left Paul. They've left his preaching. I mean, he was the man. He was the man. But no, they wanted to go back to those things. "I have forgotten those things," or "I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and I reach forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." There is a prize, and that's what we're talking about. That's this wonderful process. And the out resurrection is just part of that process. What is that prize? Well, there's a reference to it. Go over to 2 Timothy again and notice in verse chapter 2. Well, I'm getting a little ahead, but that's okay. Let's look at it, and then we'll go back and look at the connectors, and then we'll come back and look at this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul talks about being a good being a fat man. Okay, you remember that? You guys from Operation Timothy? Chapter 2, verse 2. Paul said, "Now the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men," F, "who are able," A, "to teach others," also, T. Four generations. Paul, Timothy to the next guy who's able to teach the next one. Four generations. And he talks about being a good teacher, along with being a good soldier, a good athlete, and a good farmer. And in verse 10 he says, "Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." It's the salvation has been done for you. I hope you're not still struggling with that. I hope you've accepted what God has done in the beloved, but on your behalf. But there is that eternal glory with that salvation that he says, "I'm obtaining." Now come back to Philippians. Same idea in chapter 3, verse 12. "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." That word attained, obtained. Not as though I had already obtained it. Same idea. Now what is this out resurrection? This part of that process, this focus that Paul has that spurs him and encourages him. It's, well, you know, when I was 7 years old, it was a banana popsicle. "Come on, Derek, you can finish mowing that yard and I'll get you a banana popsicle." "Okay, Dad." Sherry, same way. When she was a young little girl, she mowed yards so she'd get a nickel or a dime, and she'd go over to the city park and swim all day Saturday. I had a power lawnmower, and she had a push mower. Yeah, just blood. But she kept the faith. She knew what was the prize. She kept her focus on the target. This ekanastasia is so similar to what our Lord experienced. Go to Mark chapter 9. You remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Mark chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. That Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord takes his trio, Peter, James, and John, and they go up. And there they meet Elijah and Moses. And the Lord's raiment is changed, and he is just glowing. And it strikes Peter so much to the heart. He says, "Oh Lord, let us build three tabernacles." And if you remember Puftat, you know, Puffintat, that's our seven, that's the Jewish seven holidays: Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, and then Pentecost. That's the end, and then Tat, you got trumpets and atonement and tabernacles. Tabernacles is that day they're all looking for, that ingathering. That's those last days. That's what spurred on that question in Acts: "Will thou at this time restore again the kingdom?" That's what they're looking for to Israel. And Peter there in verse 5, Mark 9, verse 5, he says, "Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' For he knew not what to say, for they were very much afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came aloud out of the cloud, saying, 'This is my beloved Son. Hear him. He who hath an ear to hear, let him hear.' And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore, Moses and Elijah gone, save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from that mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean." Wait a minute. That should stop and arrest you. Why are they rising from the dead? What are we talking about, huh? Resurrection. It's common. Job. I mean, does Martha know more than these disciples who've spent 3 years with the Lord? I don't think so. Well, what happened here is he's talking about a rising from the dead with the ek in front of it. Not attached to it as one word, but as I don't know what you call that, but it comes before it. Okay? Just, you can study that on your own. Just go check it out. Don't take my word for it. But it's there. It's that ek rising out from the dead. It's that rising out from the dead. You know, they all know that they're going to die. And they all know that because they're going to die, they have no hope unless it's in the resurrection. But the Lord's promised them the resurrection. But then, and then he says in verse 9, "As they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were ek anastasia, out resurrected from the dead." It's from before the dead. And you think, why would they ask that question in verse 10? They kept that saying, questioning one with another, verse 10, what the rising from the dead should mean. It's caught their attention. It's a different. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. "Now concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The ek anastasia. Now, it's not the same word, but it's the word with that prefix in that phrase saying the resurrection out from the dead. Not that resurrection of the dead, but it's a one that precedes that. And our Lord did precede, did He not? It's that resurrection that Paul is talking about. That's the resurrection in Philippians that he's referring to. Come on back to Philippians chapter 3. The disciples had no idea what he was talking about. Paul knew what he's talking about. He just told us about it in Romans. And so Paul here is talking about a resurrection, not of our Lord now, but something that he could obtain. Not that he had attained it, but that he could obtain it. And Philippians 3, verse 10, Paul says that after this transfer of righteousness that comes from Christ, not having his own righteousness, but having Christ's righteousness, he says, "Now, my life is full of this, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering." Now that resurrection there in 10 is just the old common understanding. But it's a power of one that belongs specifically to who? Christ. The fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the out-resurrection, out from the dead. That's an amazing correlation here that is in our private mail that belongs to us. Now, a similar reference, go back to Luke chapter 20, a similar reference that is nearer to the same form in Luke 20, in verse 33. You know this story, the Sadducees came and tried to catch him in a goof-up. You know, got a woman who's married and he dies, and then she marries again and he dies, and she marries again and he dies, and then she... And they... Verse 31, the third had her, and in the same manner the seven also. They left no children, died. Last of all, the woman died. Now, here's a question. The Sadducees. Remember that back in Matthew 22, they don't believe in the resurrection? Okay. Therefore, here's the Sadducees, verse 33. In the resurrection... which we don't believe in. But in the resurrection, whose wife of those is she? For seven had her as wife. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "The children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they who shall be accounted worthy to obtain..." Now think of that. "Worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage." The phrase that we find in Philippians is a little more akin to this phrase here. And look at what he's talking about. Something that is worthy to be obtained. Or can only be attained by worthiness. Let me put it that way. Can only be attained by worthiness. And does not God call us in the prison epistles to walk worthy of the calling to which we are called? Kind of abbreviating going into that right now, because I want to go back to 2 Timothy now. So it is something that is obtained and a worthy walk. Come back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, all of that coming together and noticing that this is a different resurrection. This is like that first resurrection we read about in Revelation. It's something that's set apart from every other one because it's called what? The first. It's like that resurrection in Hebrews 11:35 we worked our way up to last week. It's a better resurrection. Why is that a better resurrection? That's what all of those faithful people in that hall of faith, those heroes of faith, are looking for. It's maintaining your focus on what He has put out there, the back 40, and your work in that. It won't get a lot of acclaim. It won't get a lot of... I mean, notoriety and you won't be popular, and that's probably best. But what God has given you to do, be faithful to it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." What is that? Well, he goes on, he says in verse 11, it's a faithful saying, "If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him." There is a prize, reigning with him. Where? Verse 10, salvation with eternal glory. And when he's manifested in glory, we will be manifested with him. Paul writes in Colossians. I'm out of town. I'm not in time. I'm out of town next week. And Wayne's going to take over next week. And that's going to be a good teaching for you all. And you're going to really enjoy it. We're going to go to Odessa and see Leland and Linda and spend some time with them. But I'm also out of time. I'm not going to get to Elijah. So the next week, we'll get back and we'll focus on the day of Christ. What are the conditions of this earth when Elijah is brought back and the day of Christ begins? That's where we'll start then. But I hope that your hope is focused on what God has set before you. The old saying from the drugstore in Kansas City, Mac used to tell us, as you go through life, whatever be your goal, keep your eye upon the donut and not upon the hole. Yeah, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word and the impact again. And we thank you, Father, for the joy of being together and the fellowship of seeing one another. And some folks we don't see for a whole week. It's great to see and be together and enjoy our fellowship. But more importantly, the word. And we pray that your spirit be the teacher, leading us into all truth concerning those things that pertain to our Lord and our Savior, He who loved us and gave His life for us. We pray this in His name and for His sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.